3:40, I know whom I have believed. I'm glad he's faithful.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. I'm going to let William come on. Amen. Let him preach this morning. Thank God. I'm glad I know in whom I have believeth. Amen. You pray for William this morning. I asked him to preach. I ain't felt the best in the world. He said he wasn't dressed for it. I thought, looks fine to me. But then I got to thinking, I ain't saying this to be funny. A couple of the best messages I ever heard was Christ on the cross, and he didn't have a stitch of clothes on. He said things like this, Father, forgive them. He said things like this, it's finished. Oh, Lord God, it ain't. Don't worry about all that other stuff. Just listen to the message. Don't worry about anything else. Listen to what the Lord has to say to you. Thank God. You'll get it. It'll come across. Amen. I love you, brother.
Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Luke chapter number 24. And I've preached all around this scripture. Preached it a lot of different times, a lot of different ways, but the Lord put a thought on my heart this morning. Familiar scripture. And I appreciate the Lord. It sure is good to be saved. Good to be washed in the blood. Do you know the weather never changes our position in Jesus? Doesn't change it at all. Doesn't matter how much snow's on the ground, you're still saved. Doesn't matter how much rain's in the forecast, you're still saved. Doesn't matter how treacherous weather might be, you're still saved. You're still washed in the blood of the Lamb. And thank God for that. The day, the hour, the events. You know the news can't change what you've got in the Lord Jesus. The news can't change it at all. There's talking this morning a little bit about Davos over there and what the world leaders are doing. You know, that doesn't affect what Jesus has done in my heart the least little bit. But you know, in the first century church, Nero, that eventually put Paul to death, you know, he couldn't do a single thing about what the Lord had done in the Apostle Paul's heart. Do you know that no matter what happens in this election year, you'll still be saved at the end of it? Did you know no matter what law they pass locally or state or federally, that doesn't change what the Lord Jesus has done in your heart? You're still washed in the blood of the Lamb. You still saved by God's grace. You still have the indwelling Christ. Matter of fact, it might help us a little bit more when things get darker. We might appreciate the light that is within us, thank God. We might appreciate the salvation that's within us. And nobody appreciates the life jacket until the boat capsizes. And nobody appreciates the airbag until you have a fender bender. Nobody appreciates what you have until you need it. And we're entering into days when we'll need it more and more. But thank God, nothing in this world. Paul told us over there in Romans chapter 8, principalities, powers, none of that stuff can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. It can't alter it. Can I say this to you? You can't make the Lord love you any more than He does. And by that token, you can't make the Lord love you any less than He does. Praise the Lord for that. Do you know you haven't done a single thing that has altered the Lord's view of you in the least little bit? He hadn't changed His opinion of you. It hadn't altered. It hadn't varied. Sometimes we think, well, I'm better now and I'm saved. And all of a sudden when a fail or sin, why, oh my soul, He doesn't love me. Hey, listen, He loves you as good as He possibly can. Can I say this to you in 2024? That He loves you just as good now as He did on the cross when He hung before all the world and blessed. bled and died to wash your sins away. He loves you as much now as he did then. And you hadn't changed that. Have you had a hard week? He still loves you. Have you failed and fallen? You used to hear Brother Sam say, I've stumbled and staggered and pulled at the anchor chain, but it hadn't moved, it hadn't strained, it hadn't flinched. He loves me, thank God, as he always has and as he always will. Nothing will change that. Nothing can alter that fact. You can't alter that fact. Hey, listen, no external force can alter the fact that Jesus Christ loves you absolutely, entirely, completely. He's in this for keeps and for good. He's committed himself absolutely and entirely, not withholding anything. Hey, listen, when he purchased your soul, he banked it all, thank God. He didn't hold a portion back, hallelujah, but he gave it all because he loved you. And he hadn't changed. He hadn't reneged. He hasn't said, well, I backed the wrong horse in that race. No. Hey, listen, he committed himself completely and loves you absolutely and entirely, thank God. And it ain't going to change. And you can't change it. The world can't alter it. He loves you and he's going to love you unto the end. John chapter 13. He said, I've loved them. And he's going to love you all the way to the end, thank God. Here we are in Luke chapter 24, and some of us he's got to love kicking and screaming. Some of us he's got to love as we depart from him and go away, but he loves us all the same, thank God. He loves us, praise the Lord. And it's an awareness and a revival and a return and a remembrance of that love that stirs something in our hearts to say, I want to get back to him. And I want to get back to that love. And I just linger in it and soak it all up. Do you know, in the, I've said this about every time, but the farther on this goes, the more we're reminded of the love of the Lord Jesus, not less. The more we're reminded of his love for us. Thank God. John writes about it. Peter writes about it. Revelation writes about it in chapter number 1. Unto him that loved us. And the farther on we go, Brother Mike is talking Thursday night about preaching on forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because it's there. We hear time and again that God loves us, that Christ died for us, that he was buried and rose again, and he loves us and he's coming after us, thank God. We come in here this morning not to hear about politics or the shape of the world, but to hear that God loves us and to be reminded that he loves us, thank God. Amen. That helps you. That'll help you. That Jesus loves you. Regardless of the circumstances. Do you know there's a portion in the Bible that Paul talks about that out of all, he said, he talked about three particular cities and three particular events in his life. And he said, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And that's unusual, because if you go back and look at those three things, that he delivered him three different ways. I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on just a second. The first city he went to, and he said, the Lord delivered me. The Lord said, Paul, we're going to get you out of this place. You're not going to enter into this mess. And he was delivered out of it. The second place he went, and he said, God delivered me. He came right up against it, but the Lord miraculously rescued him from the middle of the problem and from the middle of the difficulty. The last one, they stoned him, they killed him, and drug him out of the city and left his dead body out there. But he said, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So what are you saying? I'm saying the Lord loves you. And sometimes he delivers you out of your problems. And sometimes he delivers you in your problems. And then sometimes you just got to go through with the problem. But that don't change the fact that the Lord loves you. Some storms you don't ever get in because God delivers you from them. Some storms he comes to you in the middle of it and takes care of. And then some storms you just got to get wet. Some storms you just got to go through it and suffer. But he loves you, thank God, nevertheless. And he loves you in all of it. Think, why didn't the Lord deliver me? Or why didn't the Lord? That don't change the fact that He loves you. He loves you all the same, thank God. Luke chapter number 24, better turn my clock over. Don't do no good to have a clock facing the opposite direction. Luke chapter 24, the Bible says in verse, let's back up to verse number five. My goodness, may as well just start from the beginning, eh? Now upon the first day of the week in verse number one, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. They came to say goodbye. They came to wrap it all up. They came to put the final and finishing touches on it. They came to say, all right, it's over and it's done with. And they brought everything required for that. Do you know, thank God, this isn't the end. This isn't the end. We sat, Brother Mike and I, with Miss Green the other day, listening to her talk about her family and her brothers passing and telling them, hey, this isn't the end. He's doing better now than he was before this. They took his leg off, but now he's got both legs and he's in heaven whole, worshiping God. And here they brought everything required to finish it up, tie it off, and say goodbye. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Aren't you glad that the Lord, there's nothing that's over with Him. Praise the Lord, that ought to help some folks. It helps me. Because the devil always said, why, it's over and God's done. I can't tell you how many messages I've heard about God putting folks on the shelf and God washing His hands of people or of things and just walking away from them. But thank God the stone is still rolled away and He ain't done and He ain't quit and He ain't give up. Thank the Lord. The stone rolled away from the sepulcher and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now they're getting ready to say goodbye, but He wasn't there to say goodbye. Back to. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes seems like we come to church to say goodbye. He ain't here to say goodbye to. He's here to say hello. I'm here. I'm alive. They showed up there to say goodbye, but He wasn't there. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Can I repeat that to you this morning? That's more relevant than anything you've read on the internet today. That's more relevant than any title that'll adorn Bristol Herald Courier or any newspaper, the New York Times or Washington Post. This is more relevant in the hour in which we live than any news flash or any weather bulletin. He is not here, He is risen, thank God. He was delivered unto death. Hallelujah for that. He was delivered not for His own offenses, but for my sins and my offenses and your sins and your offenses. He was delivered over to death, and He did yield Himself up, and He did die on the cross, and they did bury Him. These people here give an account of that. But thank God He did rise again from the dead. Hallelujah. He is alive. Thank the Lord. He's alive. He just is alive now as He ever has been.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Matter of fact, He accomplished more while dead than anybody ever else did while living. While dead, He preached a 3-day revival and brought all the Old Testament saints out of prison. While he was dead, he preached the meeting and condemned fallen angels and spirits. You can't stop him. He preached the entire time he's anointed with the Holy Ghost. He preached when he went down to the heart of the earth. He got up, thank God, and finished the work that God called him and appointed him to do. He's alive forevermore. That bears how do I want to say it? That is the most relevant information that influences everything you'll hear today. Jesus Christ is alive and well, thank God. We're living in days, we're not living in days. Every news publisher's only ever published bad news. That's what sells. That's the only thing that sells is bad news. Catastrophe. My Lord, I was thinking earlier this week and all the storms hit and stuff like that. What did our forefathers do for the Weather Channel? Brother Terry's reading over there in Ecclesiastes and it said, for the weather, for the wind, they won't sow. You know, they look out there, oh, it's not sowing weather, it's not this weather, it's not that weather. It's bad, we can't go. Well, it's not bad right now, yeah, but they're telling us it's going to get bad, so we got to stay. Boy, that's getting too close to home, isn't it? I better move on to something else. That old woman in the village is Lot and Eva, and everybody's got phones. We all got weather apps on our phones, and man, everybody, that's what they talk about. You know people are the same everywhere. Old folks over there talk about their pensions and governments and taxes and talk about sickness, and they talk about the weather just like they do everywhere else. Them other folks are sitting around one day and they said, boy, it's a hot one tomorrow. We ain't going to go out and do nothing. And she said, what would you do if you didn't have a phone to tell you it's a hot one? You'd get out and you'd work and think, boy, it's a little warm, isn't it? How'd they get on all that? Goodness gracious. Don't tell me. I'll get back on it. The most relevant information that you have is that Jesus Christ is alive. He ought to influence, and that fact that he's alive and well ought to influence every decision that we make. Let me go on. I notice here, this is what I want to get to, and I'll get to it quickly. When the angels wanted to encourage these people, you know what they did? They reminded them of the Word of God. They said, let me rehearse God's word in your ear. Remember what Jesus said? You remember he fed the fire. Not what he did, but you remember what he said? They didn't rehearse. Hey, he fed the 5,000, didn't he? They didn't rehearse the many miracles. They said, no, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember what God had to say to you? You remember what your Savior said before any of this came to pass? You know what happened to these two, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you know what happened to these two that left the assembly and decided to leave it all and forget it? You know what happened? The day's events eclipsed the Word of God. And all that was going on in Jerusalem at that time and all that they had thought and all that they had expected eclipsed what Jesus Christ had to say about it. Do you know Paul said that day shall not come? He's talking about the revealing of the Antichrist until there come a falling away first. Until people forget, they get so consumed with life and its daily events and the news and what's happening that they forget the Word of God. People get all tore up. Have you seen what's going on in Jerusalem? Have you read what's happening? It told us that this would come long before it ever got here, before they started firing off rockets in Gaza or before that. Hey, that was on the pages of Scripture 2,000 years ago and farther. God told us this. It's all laid out right here. I can't believe the things that are going on. Pick up your Bible. There's much worse going to happen, but God's Word will hold you, thank God. God's Word will keep you. It'll sustain you. Hallelujah. Amen. They reminded them, said, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried, but don't you worry about it. I'm going to rise again. He said, I've got a commandment from my Father. And he said, I can lay my life down and I can take it up again. And no man can take my life from me.
Amen. That'd be good for us to remember today. Jesus said he would die for the sins of mankind, for your sins, for mine. Jesus would be crucified and the third day rise again. Verse 8, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. How many folks come to the house of God and they hear preaching, but their words seem as idle tales? We come here and we talk about heaven, and we talk about a street of gold, and we talk about a throne of grace, and we preach about a God who's got an ear that hears, and we preach about a Savior who's alive and making intercession for us and invites us to come and cast all our care upon Him. We preach about a Savior who cares and will hear and will answer, but how many folks actually take Him up on it? We come and we hear, but the words seem as idle tales. I mean, if we believed what we hear about heaven, we'd be the happiest crowd on the face of the earth this morning. That this world is not our home. That we're just passing through. That we're going someplace better. If we believed what we've heard about hell, we'd be different people. But sometimes these things seem as idle tales to us. Idle tales. Because why? Why? Because they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let me say this right here. If you don't believe God's words, you won't believe your eyes. They said, no, that can't be so. And they went down there and saw an empty tomb. And they walked in and saw the empty tomb. And they walked in and surveyed it all as was told them. But because they didn't believe the word, they couldn't believe their eyes. Couldn't believe their eyes. And what happened as a result of that? Two of them said, it's time to leave. We've done made a mistake. They couldn't believe God's word. They wouldn't believe God's word. And they wouldn't believe the testimony of their own eyes. And two of them here, let's look on verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. Two of them said, you know, this is, that's it. That's it. It's time to go. It's time to pull away. And they forsook the assembly. Jerusalem there, that's where the upper room was. That's where the Lord had fed them. That's where the Lord had prayed with them. That's where the Lord had fellowship with them. That's where the Lord said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Take, drink. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you. That's in that upper room. That's where he got down on his knees and washed their feet. That's that place of fellowship and that place of communion. That's that place where the Lord talked to them and told them all that was about to come. And they walked away from that. They walked away from that because they didn't believe the word that he was alive. Two of them departed. You know, when you ever take a notion to leave, very rarely do people leave by ones. Whenever you get upset or whatever like that, and the root of it all is unbelief, that's the heart of it. But they very rarely have the courage to, I don't know, Cleopas elbows his buddy there who, and says, I'm sorry, it's too much for me. Yeah, let's cut our losses. I made a mistake. And one took the other and they departed. And it says that two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, and they talked together of all these things that happened. Now, I want to say a few things about unbelief. Unbelief sets tongues to wagging. You didn't expect to come here preaching this morning, did you really? But unbelief sets tongues to wagging and sets people talking about things. And I don't know, I've always thought that Mary Magdalene was touched in the head. I've always thought that this one, after all, she had seven devils in her, and after all this and that and Joanna and whatever, and it set tongues to wagging there. They started talking about things. And then I noticed something else. Look, you hear what it says. They talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned. They coming up with reasons of what they's doing, why they's doing what they's doing. And they're justifying their departure, in other words. They're justifying their leaving the house of God, leaving the fellowship of the saints, and they're coming up with their good reasons and their good arguments because they's guilty and they wanted to feel better about it. They's guilty and they wanted to feel better about it. So they start saying, talking and coming up with reasons why they's doing what they's doing. I ain't asking for no show of hands. But I know, because that's human nature. We justify ourselves, we justify our behavior, and we got to come up with pretty good reasons. Well, this one or that one or the other one, or I'm doing what I'm doing because of whomever or whatever. And it came to pass, they reasoned. Look at this. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He pulled up and he said, let me tune in to what their strong reasons are leaving my house. Sometimes we're not always aware of who joins in the conversation. Oh, my soul, we got idle tongues wagging and talking, and sometimes we're not aware who pulls up and said, let me listen down there, see what this crowd's having to say. Do you know, the Bible says that you'll give account of every idle word. Do you know there's not a word that escapes your mouth that he doesn't hear it? Did you know, let me go a little bit farther. Did you know there's not a thought that rumbles across your head that isn't spoken aloud to him? You didn't come to hear preaching this morning, did you? William, go back to the love of God, for crying out loud. Quit talking about that. Hey, I'm preaching about me. I can't tell you how many times I've kicked the door open on the way out and say, that'll be it. I'm headed home. I'm headed here. Matter of fact, I got my traveling clothes on this morning. I come dressed to leave and go down the road. It's for a different reason whatsoever. Our cook is gone. We need to replace her. Our secretary has deserted us, and we need to go get her back. You know why I'm dressed like I am this morning? Because my dresser's not here. That's why. Because the voice of reason saying, hey, put on some better clothes heading here. You want to know why we're looking as shabby as we're looking this morning? We got more mirrors, we got less sense. And the one with the sense that says, don't go out in public like that, isn't here, and we got to go fetch her back. I'm giving you my strong reasons. I'm telling you why I got to go to Emmaus. Their eyes, look here, Jesus himself drew near. Verse 16, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He drew near and they couldn't even see him for who he was. Unbelief will blind you to Jesus. It'll open your eyes to all the problems and the difficulties and blind you to the solution. I mean, there he was right beside him and they couldn't see him for who he was. This shepherd had shown up and they couldn't see him. They thought he's a stranger in the land. They'd walked with him. They had been his disciples now for 3.5 years. They had been eyewitnesses of his power. They had heard him speak, but there he was right beside them. They had no idea who he was. Do you know Jesus showed up over there in the temple? And when Jesus showed up, they knew what time he's supposed to get here. They knew where he's supposed to be born, but they didn't recognize him when he got here. He came into his father's house, And they had no idea who he was. He said, this is my father's house. They said, what authority do you do these things? But the first time he entered into there, he entered with the whip and cleaned it out and said, hey, this is my house. This is my father's house. I am the heir of this house. You're not allowed to do with it what you think. They didn't know him. Their eyes were beholden. Their eyes were holding. The Bible says that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? I see another thing about our unbelief is it makes us sad. Extinguishes all the joy in life. Sucks it out. Unbelief sucks out all the joy in life, all the pleasure in life, all the hope in life. It takes it away. When you look at the scriptures and you can read them all day long, but except you believe, there's no life in there. But when you believe with faith, thank God, it brings joy and it brings life and it opens your eyes and it increases your vision. But my Lord, there's talking and sad. And everybody that walks away from the fellowship of God's house walks away sad. Nobody walks away to a happier experience. Everybody walks away from the fellowship of the saints, from the house of God, where Jesus shows up and gives peace and provides the Holy Ghost and sits down and eats and communes. Everybody that departs from that does so sad. And they go off to some shallow thing. Some of them go off to another meeting and it's shallow and it's jingle and it's play and it's excitement. But there's no peace or joy in it. There's no food for the soul. There's no contentment that when calamity and trouble comes that you can stand up and say, my hope is in the Lord and God's still real. They departed, and with their departure and unbelief, all their happiness left. They left it back up there at the assembly. Joy was gone. And they're talking sad. And the Lord shows up. And you know, that must have... It's the interesting thing about the Lord. He said, hey, I'm alive. Why are you so sad? I think if the Lord showed up, he'd say, why are my people so sad? They've forgotten that I'm alive and well. They've forgotten that I paid for their sins and left them. They forgot that they've purged and I did the work and they're saved and secured and they're on their way to heaven. I've done it all for them. They've forgotten that. Boy, they went away sad and he showed up and said, why y'all so sad? Look what they said here. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? I like it. They're breaking the news to Jesus about what went on regarding him. You know, sometimes in our praying, that's what we try to do, break the news to Jesus about what's happening as if he don't know. I went out to the prayer grounds one time and fiddled around for about 30 minutes trying to figure out how I was going to break something to the Lord. How am I going to say this? What am I going to say? I paced around there and kicked around there and wallowed around there in the sinkhole and thought, how in the world, how am I going to get this out and say what I need to say as if he didn't already know? Amen. We try to break news to the Lord. Lord, I don't know if you know this, but so-and-so's sick. That's what them two sisters did. They sent a letter and said, we're not sure if you're aware, but he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, because he loved him, he knew everything's going on. Because he loved him and because he was sick and dying, Jesus said, I've got to go away for a few days. Why? I've got to let him die. Why? So I can come back and resurrect him. So I can come back and show you just who I am. As long as I'm here, he can't die. I'm life itself. I have life within me. I saw that the other day. That's why Jesus could go 40 days and 40 nights without food or water, because he was life itself. He didn't live off food and water. He's God. He existed before bread or water. He's God. He's life itself. He said, I've got to go away because Lazarus has got to die, because I've got to come back and show to this world that I, not a day, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. They break the news to Jesus about what's going on in the world. Sometimes our praying is letting the Lord in on some things as if he didn't know. And here they are about to break down the headlines to him. And I like the Lord Jesus just in, he's talking to two little ignorant children here. Let them parade themselves and talk about things. Like little Derek back here sometimes try to tell me something. He's got a chicken fascination. Everything's chickens, 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 chickens. Goodness gracious, every sentence is punctuated with chickens. I don't know. That's what Chick-fil-A does to you, I guess. Steady diet of that, and all you can think about is chickens. He just everything, nuggets, and he knows all the parts of them. He knows what's edible and what ain't. He's a Baptist, in other words. He's a good Baptist. He'd probably make a preacher. He knows all the parts of a chicken. He knows that you go to KFC in DeKalb County on Tuesdays, they serve livers. Nobody ever talked about the promised land flowing with livers. Livers and gizzards and kidneys and hearts. Hey, that didn't make it into the list. Here this crowd is going to break the news to Jesus. Jesus said, "What thing's going on, fellas?" Well, tell me, what's going on in your life that I'm not aware of? What's going on in your life that I didn't know was going to be there before you did? What's happening in your life that I wasn't aware of, that's taken you by surprise? What's happening? Inform me. Tell me what's going on that I don't know about. Lord, did you know the Democrats stole the election? Oh, Lord, did you know they put 64,000 more votes in Maricopa County? Did you know that they've done robbed? Well, I didn't know that. Goodness gracious, if I'd have known that, I'd have come down there and put a stop to it. You wasn't expecting preaching, was you? Tell me about what's going on. And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. I like it, like preacher down there in Bluff City when he had the furniture home down there. That woman showed up to tell him all about the children's home. Do you know what they're doing up there? Let me tell you about Fred Potter. Well, do tell. I'm interested in knowing. Tell me about Fred Potter. She went on down the road. That Fred Potter's this, and I've heard he takes money. He said, now let me stop you right there. Everything you've said about him, I've heard too, but he don't take no money off of children. And here's these folks. Listen, hey, let's inform you about Jesus. Let me tell you, Lord, what you're supposed to have done. Let me tell you, Lord, where you missed it. Let me tell you where you failed us. Let me tell you what you should have done instead of what you did. That sounds like some of our praying, doesn't it? Lord, let me tell you what you should have done. You should have done it this way. You say, I don't believe that. Go back to that funeral in John chapter 11. Two sisters, two praying women. They're praying women. And they said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, you know what you should have done? You should have said no to your other obligations and been right here. No. I heard a fellow preach something good. He said, it's a strange thing that us Baptists, we can believe the past. And we can believe the future, but we can't believe God's alive and well right now. Amen. Them two ladies there, they talked about our brother had been sick, and if thou hadst been, they believed the past. They said you had power, and they believed he said, I am there. They said, he talked about the resurrection. They said, we know at the last days. They believed in a coming resurrection, and they believed what God had done. They just couldn't believe he'd do anything right there for them. And that's where you and I live, as we believe that heaven by and the resurrection, and one day we'll be reunited, and we believe the Old Testament, and we believe the New Testament. We just don't believe he's alive and well on this day in January to help us, to bless us, to comfort us. And they said, let's tell you about Jesus, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. See, unbelief makes you ignorant. unbelief lowers the Lord Jesus. They said he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Boy, then nobody can preach like him. He's much more than a prophet. Do you know, I saw over there in Hebrews the other day, Paul spends a lot of time in Hebrews talking about his high priesthood. The majority of the center of the book of Hebrews is dedicated to his priesthood. But the very biggest claim the Apostle Paul made about Jesus, he made it in chapter 1, and that is he's God. That is the Father. God the Father said unto his Son, "Thou, O God." That's the biggest claim. Do you know he's bigger than a prophet? Do you know he's bigger than a shepherd? Did you know he's greater than a physician? Did you know he's greater than Creator? He is God. And did you know God, that God lives in your heart? Did you know in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily? Did you know in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Did you know everything that God is in your heart in the person of Jesus? Now tell me now, what trouble do you have? What problem is so big that you've got to say goodbye to church and depart the fellowship of the saints and say, "I wash my hands and I'm done with it"? These fellows here said he's mighty in deed and word before God. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. You see, they got to the point where they's more interested in the politics of things than the spiritual reason. I'm talking about what unbelief does. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed. In other words, we trusted that he's going to throw off all these Romans. He's going to kick the Democrats out. He's going to clean the White House, dredge the swamp, and he's going to institute all the things that we've been wanting. And he didn't do that. He died on a tree over there.
Yeah.
He didn't do what we expected. He died on a tree. Thank God he did. Thank God he did. Because if he just institute morality, you and I would still die and go to hell. Can I tell you this? If God steps in and puts Trump or some conservative in the presidency and then pulls out the amendment that says they only pulls out the term limits amendment, you'll still die and go to hell except the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your heart. Your family will still perish and spend eternity in hell. That won't change or alter that fact one little bit. Won't alter it. Well, if he'll just close the borders and folks are still going to hell. Oh, if he just close down the abortion clinics, he'd just give birth to a whole lot more hopeless souls dying and going to hell.
Amen.
If he'd just institute all these things and put down, if he'd get rid of the trans and the queers and if he'd get rid of all the sodomites and if he'd get this, and you'd still die and go to hell, because it's the blood that saves you. It's the blood that cleanses you. It's the blood applied to your heart that washes away your sins, and only the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here this crowd is, they wanted political revolution, and Jesus came to redeem Israel. He came to redeem them. He came to redeem them from their sins. He came to pay the sin debt, to wash away the sins of mankind, thank God. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. They found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Do you know what the other thing unbelief does? Here they confess that everything was as it was. I mean, here they acknowledged the testimony of these people and they acknowledged the eyewitness accounts of others, but in doing so, they admitted their own ignorance and their own unbelief. They oppose themselves. That's what unbelief does. Unbelief causes you to oppose yourself. And it says, and certainly at verse 25, and then said he, this is what the Lord gave me this morning. I said all that, say this, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And look at this. Look at this now. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Amen. Do you know what the resurrection did? Amen. He spoke the word. He read the scriptures to them. He didn't say, ta-da, here I am. He didn't say, here I am, I'm alive and well, look at me. No, you know what he did? He said, let's get the Bible. He said, let me open this. Let's go back to Genesis. And he took Genesis and he started saying, look here, that talks about Jesus. Look here, that, and through Genesis and the prophets and all the scriptures. You get over here in this other chapter in verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Amen. He said, let's go back to the Bible. You know what, Chris, you know why the church is the state it's in to this day and age, this Laodicean age, is because we've forsaken the Bible. Amen. And we're trying to draw strength from experience rather than the scripture. We want touchy-feely this, that. We want flashing lights and balls of fire, but we don't want to pick up a Bible and let God whisper to us some verse of scripture and feed our soul. Amen. Do you know why folks are dying and going to hell? Do you remember? You know, well, if Jesus had just appeared, well, he had appeared and they couldn't see him. He appeared. Do you know that's what that man in hell wanted? He said, send Lazarus. Send somebody that's resurrected back. And once they see Lazarus, they'll know. Once they see Lazarus, my brothers will come to themselves and they'll see and they'll know. But Abraham said, son, no, they won't. Said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear what's written in God's word, Abraham's bosom could be emptied out. Everybody could be resurrected and they wouldn't believe their eyes if they won't believe the word. Do you know why our families are the shape they're in? Because we've set the Bible aside. We've set the Bible aside. We send our children off to school and complain what they're learning because we don't have time to teach them. Or rather, because our time in making money means more to us than time spent shepherding their souls to Jesus. I didn't expect any amens there, but that's the facts. Oh, we let the teachers do that. That's the teacher's job. That's mommy and daddy's job. I can't understand why my kid believes the things they do. You didn't ever teach him. That old public school, they ought to put the curriculum in there that we want. No, you ought to set some of your selfish time aside. Now I am preaching. You ought to set some of your selfish time aside, your me time that you've reserved to yourself to unwind, to relax, to refresh. Set that old selfish time aside and say, hey, bring that Bible here. Hey, let's look and see what the Lord has got to say. We complain about what goes on in public schools and wonder why in the world. Well, it's them old teachers and it's that old curriculum. No, it's a mommy and daddy too shy to tell them the truth themselves. Putting their God-given responsibility off on somebody else. Well, we got to put a roof over their head. You'd be better off in a cave with two little children, three little children that knew about God. You'd be better off scratching to make it and have your children certified bound to heaven. than to have the bills paid and the house heated and not sure where they'd go if they died. Boy, that's preaching. You say, well, that's Brother Mike's job. My children, they need to know about the Lord. That's the preacher's job. That's your job. Jesus opened the Bible and he began at the scriptures. And you know what? I'm talking about unbelief. When he began to expound the scriptures to them, do you know what happened? You know, when they began to hear the word of God, you know what happened? It created a desire in them. All of a sudden, he preached to them. I don't know how long he talked to them, but scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture, word after word, verse after verse. And the longer he went, say, I don't know where to begin reading my Bible. Start where Jesus did. Go back to Moses. Go back to Genesis. Pick it up. John said in chapter 5, or Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Amen. Pick it up and it'll tell you about Jesus. He began to talk to them, and all of a sudden, they said, we want you to stay with us. All of a sudden, they said, we've got a desire for you. See, I don't know what took place in the upper room, but as long as the Lord wasn't there, I kind of think their priorities got shifted and they began to look at one another instead of looking for him and waiting for him. But when they got in the Bible or the Bible was presented to them, all of a sudden they said, hey, this thing's about him. This thing isn't about Mary or Joanna or the other Mary. This thing isn't about Peter or John. This thing isn't about any of the others. This is about him. Amen. And it woke a desire up in their heart. It's nighttime. Night was coming on. And they said, abide with us. The scriptures put a desire in their heart for the Lord. And they said, hey, don't go anyplace else. Come in and abide with us. Amen. Then I noticed something else. The scriptures brought the upper room to them. Jesus said, all right, I'll come in. And they all sat down. You know what they did? They did just what they did in the upper room a few chapters in John before. He said, y'all sit down, give me some bread, and I'll break it, and I'll bless it. I'll bless it, and I'll break it. He brought the upper room to them. They still didn't know who he was, really, but the scriptures created a desire for him, and the scriptures brought bread to them. The scriptures brought the upper room to them, and all of a sudden they sat down there, one on one side, one on the other, and Christ at the head, and he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and all of a sudden those same scriptures opened their eyes to the revelation, to the resurrection. Those same scriptures. Hey, wait a second. He is the fulfillment and he's been here all along. And we didn't realize it. He's been here all along. What made the difference? The scripture made the difference. Do you know the Lord could have done a lot of things. He could have reached over and touched them on the head. He could have spoke a word. I mean, like we said earlier, like Brother Terry said, he could have spit on the ground. He could have done whatever to get them fellows to see and recover themselves. But what did he do? Took to the scriptures. Why? Because their faith was going to be in the scriptures. A few more days and he's going to depart to the Father, wasn't he? But they's going to have the word of God. And he said, I'm listening. This is it. Turn to the scriptures. When all these things come to pass, get in the Bible. Dig deeper into it. Look for me. Hunt me up. Listen to it. Hear it. Turn back to the Bible. You know what happened after they got in the scriptures and after they desire for him and he fed them and they realized just who he was, that the resurrection was with him. You know where they went? Went right back up there to the fellowship. They said, there ain't no place like home. They said, we done messed up, but the good shepherd found us and brought us back into the fold. And they said, don't worry about it. He's done the same for everybody else. I don't know, maybe they went back there with their tail between their legs and maybe they felt guilty and ashamed. But when they got there, they found they's in the same boat with everybody else. Even them women had started off to say goodbye to him. And he sent them back home with the message. Every last one of them had wandered from the fold, and every last one of them returned with the same message. He's alive. Thank God he's alive and well. I don't know why I preached all this morning. Maybe somebody's disgruntled and upset and decide they're going to leave and they're going to do whatever and wish things as, you know what your problem is you've laid the Bible aside. Other things have eclipsed it and you're in unbelief and all the, your tongues are wagging and the joy is gone and you're just going to pack up and round up two or three of them and head down the road. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find misery and sadness and discontentment and all these other things. You know what you need to do? Pick his back up and look for Jesus. Pick it up and say, I want to see you again. Talk to me again. I ain't doing nothing, going no place till I hear from heaven. And I'm looking for the answer right here. There's a whole lot of folks waiting to hear from heaven that ain't ever picked up a Bible. Oh, Lord, tell me what to do. Oh, Lord, tell me. I just don't know what to do. He wrote it. He told you. He sent you a letter. Got everything you need to know what to do right here. He'll tell you right here. I just ain't sure. I don't know. I'm at a straight. Oh, give me a sign. Here's your sign. Pick it up and read it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, I bless your holy name and I glory in you that you're alive and well. Lord, I'm guilty. Lord, may as well call me Cleopas. I'm that fella, God. But Lord, I sure do appreciate your grace and your mercy and your peace. And I pray that you'd bless your people, Lord. And Lord, help us to pick up the Bible and read it again. And oh, speak to us, Lord Jesus, and banish unbelief, O God, and establish us and strengthen us, O God, in that good love. Oh, Lord, help us to see it written on every page and in every line. I love you. I love you. I'll not forsake you. Lord, help us. Ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank God. That's good. I was sitting there thinking about a lot of things, and I'm not gonna say too much more about it. You didn't amen him, you ain't going to me either. About some of that. But that's exactly the way it is. We think, well, if we could hear from the Lord. Well, I thought about it, his preaching that. Peter, James, and John was up on the mountain, and they heard the voice of God themselves. And he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. But then over there in 2 Peter, he was talking about that. And he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, yeah, I heard that back yonder. He said, but holy men of old spake as they were moved by Holy Ghost. He pinned it down. We've got it. You want to hear from God? Now you're going to get it out of this. We're wanting somebody, you're wanting to hear that audible voice. He wrote it down. Thank God. Lord God. Now, I'm going to say one more thing because it's been a blessing to me. I said before Sunday school or whatever, I was sitting back there yesterday, and a lot of those things I just had to say, oh me, instead of amen. Because I was doing that, I was praying, and I was trying to read, and I felt like I was struggling and all that. And I said this, I picked up that old Bible back there. My aunt gave it to my grandmother in 1969. I looked in the beginning of it about a year after I was born. But anyway, y'all have heard me tell this testimony. I remember when I was probably 7, almost 8 years old probably. Me and my mom turned up old Jonesboro Road, and I was under conviction bad. And I asked my mom, I said, what is the unpardonable sin? And I was thinking about that, and I didn't know what it was. And all she said was this. She said, don't worry about it. You ain't done it. But I've said this many a time. Apparently, I heard somebody saying something about it or somebody preaching on it or whatever it was. But yesterday, as I was flipping through that Bible, I seen that verse with it had the marks around it, too. I figured out yesterday who had been talking to me about that business. And it said, the scripture talks about All manner of sins shall be forgiven you, except the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, as William was preaching about that and talking about these younguns and teaching them and you being mama and daddy, I believe it was Granny that was talking to me about that stuff. She had that verse highlighted there. That's your responsibility. And I'm glad somebody set me down and talked to me about it. Now, I didn't understand it, but it sure did get me stirred up. It sure did get me. I mean, and I know this, it helped me. Those scriptures will help you. They'll do something. They're alive. Sam used to say they're effectual. They'll work, thank God. But anyway, I'm going to let you go here in a minute, but I sure do appreciate that preaching. That'll help you. Thank God. That'll help you. It'll do something for you. It'll get in there. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to let you go. William's got to go pick up his dresser and his cook. But anyway, thank God. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good?